Yo, what's good, people? It's your boy, Delboy, and we are back. I was about to say we're live. We are back with a new episode of Indie Takers. Again, all I can do is put my hands up and apologise because the consistency on our end has been a bit topsy-turvy in regards to getting our schedule aligned. And, you know, but big shouts to Jim. Please wish him a speedy recovery. He's not feeling too well at the moment, but we're gonna keep things going because I've got a lot to talk about today. There's so much wrestling to speak about, and I feel like this episode is going to be very important in regards to where wrestling is heading these next few years. Like, this episode is really going to speak about how this past week, not even just this past week, but things have been building to this year being a precursor of amazing things happening in the next few years, and it's only right that we get into it. Before we do even get into it, I'm gonna go through Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor was okay. My problem with Ring of Honor is very uninspiring. I find Ring of Honor to be very, 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 very uninspiring, and I'm at a point with Ring of Honor where I struggle to watch it because my problem with Ring of Honor is that I don't know whether it's angle-based, I don't know whether it's action-based. There seems to be this booking style that Tony Khan has. There seems to be this booking style of, let me just keep a buck. You guys know me. I'm always going to say what I need to say. This shit is not good. This shit is not good. Sorry, I need to move my screen. This shit isn't good at all. This shit is not good. Ring of Honor is not good. Ring of Honor is absolutely terrible. Ring of Honor is absolutely terrible. We're going to go through the matches one by one quickly. I don't want to spend too much time on Ring of Honor because, like I say, every single episode, I feel like the old man shouting at the clouds. And I don't want to get into a few spoilers. There's been some sort of introduction, and then I think that maybe either the next episode or the episode after, that there's going to be some sort of authority figures on Ring of Honor, which may help, which may not help, depending on what side of the coin you're on. But, I don't know, really and truly. First match, we had Kingdom versus the Infantry, both two talented teams. The Kingdom won the match. I want better for the Infantry, but I also want better for the booking of the Kingdom, because it seems that the Kingdom were feuding with Andretti and I can't remember the names, man. See, that's how uninspired I am with Ring of Honor. Like, Ring of Honor has just become, I don't even know what to, yeah. Action Andretti and Darius Martin, they've been feuding with them for the past how many months or whatever, and they never ever seem to win, or they always seem to be disqualified. And the Kingdom are the Kingdom. I feel like the Kingdom, they're a premier Ring of Honor team. They are multi-time tag team champions. They're former IWGP heavyweight champions, former Impact tag champions. These are people that, as elder statesmen of Ring of Honor, these are people that you should be pushing to the moon. Of course, do put them against the younger talent. I 100% agree. But at the same time, they must feel important. And for the most part, the Kingdom, and this seems to be a booking trope that Tony Khan has when it comes to the Rampages and the AEW Darks, and it's tiring. Kingdom won, but for me, it doesn't mean anything. The Infantry haven't been booked like stars anyways. And you can clearly see from the people in the crowd, they mess with the Infantry. Carly Bravo is great. Carly Bravo is great. Carly Bravo is absolutely great. Sean Dean, great. They cut a promo recently for a match that they're going to have at, is it West Coast Pro Wrestling? The promo was excellent. Why are we not letting these guys talk? We need more segments from these guys. The problem is, if you're not going to make us care for them in the ring, vignettes, segments, promos, give us that. It's simple. There's other ways rather than them being winning matches for us to get these people over. And that just seems to be my gripe with Ring of Honor. But like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on Ring of Honor. Sky Blue versus Trisha Adora, decent match. I honestly don't know what they're doing with Trisha Adora. Trisha Adora is someone that was in the company before. She was part of the women's tournament when they were crowning the new champion. She was part of the tournament. She did pretty well in the tournament. This is someone who has done the rounds. She's currently part of the New Japan Strong Dojo. She didn't even get an entrance. So this is why I'm confused. You're booking Trisha Adora, you know, here and there. She's just coming to do the job. And for me, I'm just like, this is the problem. Like, Ring of Honor don't have a solid women's division. And it's like, you're giving the same three people, you're just making them squash everyone and win. So then at what point am I going to care about this division? At what point am I going to look at someone and think, yeah, this is the person that I feel like should be beating Fina for the women's title? It makes no bloody sense. Then we had Stu Grayson and the Righteous versus Dark Order. Okay. This has been one of the most confusing stories. This has been one of the... Granted, it's a story. Granted, it is a story. And this is what I want more from Ring of Honor. But at the same time, I don't want it at the expense of people you just don't have work for in AEW. Fair enough. The Dark Order are not where they were in terms of prominence. But one thing I will say about the Dark Order is they have been in certain main event segments in the last year or so in regards to Adam Page and whomsoever. But we want more from them. At this point, this might be controversial. Bin the Dark Order. I said it. Bin the Dark Order. Because clearly, we don't know what's going on with them. Stu Grayson has been... the Righteous have been, since the pay-per-view, have been wanting to lay their mark on Ring of Honor again. Their former trios champions, six-man champions. Vincent's a former tag champion. The problem I'm having with this story is that this is done at the expense of an amazing tag team in Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. Super Smash Brothers have exploded in, at this point. It's clearly a thing of, like, this is, you're probably wondering why I'm befuddled and I have no words. I don't know what is going on. I'll be very, very real with you. Look at me. Look at my eye. I don't know what's going on. The story that they've been trying to tell, I commend it. But it's at the expense of Stu Grayson, who's just come back. And one, we haven't even had a tag team title reign with Evil Uno and Grayson. And I don't know. My only thing about this is that, I'm not sure what is going on, but there was something that was said during the match. Something that, and I wanted to speak about it. There was something that was said during the match. And it was in regards to, I can't remember who said it. Someone made a comment in regards to, like, you've lost your grit, you've lost, like, and maybe this story is to kind of re-submerge some sort of grit into Dark Order, maybe for them to realize who they are. Dark Order, when they were, like, when they first came in, they were hot. They were in AW, they were hot. And then they got the addition of Luke Harper, rest in peace. They were hot, and then he passed, rest in peace. They still continue to stay hot, but to what expense? There was no titles. They were having constantly good matches. They were constantly on TV, but to what expense? And then last year when they had the Trios tournament, and we kind of saw a shift in Alex Reynolds, I thought, okay, cool, maybe something might change, but to no avail, nothing had come from it. So I was just a bit lost. I'm like, I feel like this story might be what is needed to kind of maybe the storyline might be the thing to kind of take the Dark Order into something a bit more serious. They've been clowns for how many years now? And maybe a story like this, maybe them seeing that, you know, there's a real potential to leave, to lose Stu Grayson to a team like the Righteous, maybe this might punt them into place. And, you know, I mean, you know what? I'm just going to give it a chance. That's just me being honest. I'm just going to give it a chance and kind of see where it goes. It seems to be the really only real story going on in Ring of Honor at this moment. So, yeah. I'll give it a chance. I don't, like, Yeah, we'll see. It was interesting to kind of see Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, like, come to blows. They were trying to avoid it the whole match, but, like I said, as much as I am judging it, I do want to give it a bit of time. So, yeah, we'll see. Diamante promised Braxton squash, Brian Cage and Willie Mack. If you guys have ever seen these guys wrestle, you guys already know what you're going to expect. This is no different to any matches I've seen them do in the Indies, Lucha Underground. So it was a good TV match. Willie Mack, I'm so happy he's just getting a platform to showcase how great he is. And it's like, Willie Mack, he just, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, he's such an enigma. And it's just like, he's just getting better. Better, like, he's, there's no slowing down of him. Brian Cage is an absolute unit. I'm just happy that he's being able to showcase himself and he's been looked at like the star he can be. Do you know what I mean? Brian Cage just needed a platform. He's had the platform before, but Brian Cage just needed to kind of be by himself. He didn't really necessarily even need, I say he needs to be by himself, but he's with the embassy. I think Brian Cage just needed to be part of something where he could be looked at as the proper unit. With Team Taz, I felt like it was kind of hard, especially with having someone like Will Hobbs in it. And it's like, you're coming to, it's like two units. And of course, Will Hobbs is the fresher talent. He's the younger talent. He's someone that, in regards to like being on the mic, he's better at speaking than the Brian Cage. But I feel like he sits right, I think he sits perfectly within the embassy. So that's proper good to see. The next match, Bangar Badizio. Listen, I want us to have a conversation. Let's be honest. Rocky Romero, let me not speak. I don't want to peak you lot's audio. Rocky Romero is having an absolute match. Like, no, see, I'm losing my words because I don't know what to say. Rocky Romero is having the absolute year. A year similar to like, the year he's having is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Like the feud with Volo Dor Jr., Lee Moriarty, this match with Zack Sabre Jr. Like, this guy can't miss. Zack Sabre Jr. is Zack Sabre Jr. I can't lie to you. I was saying this the other day in regards to Zack Sabre Jr. This TV title run that he's having is going to be so hard to beat. Yeah, like Rocky Romero, he just seems ageless when it comes to wrestling. Like, he's had a 20 plus year career and he's just, his output this year has just been incredible. Absolutely incredible. Like, I liken it to, he had an incredible year last year. Speedball Mike Bailey. He's not having the same amount of matches, but in terms of quality, Rocky Romero is having an absolute blinder of a year. And he's having one of the feuds of the year with Volo Dor Jr. as well. They're going to be wrestling at the New Japan event that's going to be happening in Japan. Not in Japan, Mexico, sorry. I'm not sure if it's this year or next year. But not this month or next month. I'm assuming it's this month. But yeah, steadily moving on. Work Horseman versus Action Andretti and Dante Martin. This was a cool match. Again, I liken the Workhorsemen to like the Infantry. They're a great tag team. We see them week in, week out, jobbing. We clearly know that there's potential for them. And my thing is, it's not necessarily about the wins and losses for me. It's more so about why should I care if you keep constantly putting these teams on TV, but yet you're not making me care about them. That's my problem. Action Andretti and Dalton Martin, they're a good tag team. It will be very interesting to kind of see the dynamic, how it will be when Darius comes back from injury. Maybe they might shift into a trios, which would be good. I feel like that probably makes more sense than them teaming with AR Fox. Even though AR Fox and the Martins are great, but having someone as young as them work alongside them probably works a bit better in terms of longevity, them being able to travel, them doing different companies and whatnot. So, yeah, but yeah, I like the Work Horsemen. I want good things from them, you know. But it's just a means of just making them feel important. Why should I care for Henry? Why should I care for Drake? Why should I care for them? Ring of Honor just seems to not be able to put a nail on the head of like why these wrestlers should be important to me and why am I viewing them next, each and every week. Especially the fact that Ring of Honor doesn't have that competitive feel to it anymore. It's lost that feel. We're not seeing the random pure rules matches. We're not seeing the just people just exhibitioning. It seems to be on a linear story path of this person is on a tier, they have to win matches. And then we had Butcher Blade, Kip Sabian versus shit match. And then we had Commander Hijo Del Vikingo Bandido versus the Spanish Announced Project. This was a cool match. This was a cool match. Getting to see Cartwheel in his Ring of Honor debut was dope. Seeing him in Mexico, GCW. This was a very, very cool match. Cool exhibition match. That's I don't really know what more to say. Like, if you've seen Commander, if you've seen Vikingo, if you've seen Bandido, you already know what to expect. You know what I mean? These are three premier luchadors doing what premier luchadors would do. Angelico, he looked good. Serpentico looked surprisingly good in this match. The crowd were proper into this match. This was a car crash spot fest, which I feel is needed. There's going to be a word that I'm going to be using quite often throughout this video. It's going to be the word renaissance. And I feel like there's a renaissance for many different reasons, different forms of wrestling. And I would say there is a renaissance for luchador and lucha libre within wrestling at the moment. I feel like it's not like lucha libre has disappeared. Lucha libre has always been a thing. It's not like these wrestlers haven't been showcased and they haven't been touring, they haven't been doing well. But I feel like there seems to be like a newfound, profound love for lucha libre. And that's maybe, might be off the back of, I don't want to give it AEW too much credit, but it could be off the back of AEW. Having the likes of Pentagon, having the likes of Phoenix, having the likes of Bandido coming in, Vikingo, Commander. And then also, can't just give all the credit to AEW, the likes of GCW. The things that El Gringo Loco has been doing El Gringo Loco has been doing to kind of bridge the gap between US and Mexico and this fantastic style of wrestling. I have to applaud El Gringo Loco. Like, he's been putting on some amazing shows, and GCW been putting on some amazing matches when it comes to the luchadors, and MLW as well with the Lucha Azteca and having the likes of Eres and, you know, their partnerships with the Crash and Mexican promotions. So it's really, really good to see, man. Remember I said it, renaissance. That's going to be the word of today's episode. That might have been the name of the title. Then we had the pure title match. Shibata versus Alex Coughlin. This match was a masterclass. I don't know what it is I can say that hasn't been said about this match already. We need the fact that we have Shibata as a champion in 2023. Mind-boggling. that shouldn't be the case. We shouldn't we shouldn't have Shibata as champion, but we have him, and we have to acknowledge him. He's had two or three title defenses, and they've all been great. Pure Rules is absolutely amazing. One is he low key gets to work a safer style. Two, he's working a style where it's more. How do I describe it? You have to think. It's not just go guns blazing and strut. Like, you have to be cognitive of the decisions that you make. And this works tremendously in Shibata's region. Coughlin is an absolute unit. Absolute unit. And I'm excited to kind of see where he goes. Like, I'm going to speak more on him in a bit when I speak about New Japan. But boy. But here's my grab, and I don't always like to turn positives into negatives. Ring of Honor are not doing enough to shine a bright light on a pure division, because it's all well and good enjoying the Shibata reign, but then one thing I always find important in regards to titles and divisions and reigns is kind of trying to have a foresight on who is going to be the next champion. That works in AEW. It's fine to be able to have your champion defend titles, do these proven ground matches here and there, but the writing's on the wall when it comes to certain champions and certain belts. That shouldn't be the case in Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, I should be able to know, okay, cool, this person has racked up this how many matches in pure division, in a pure rules match, so he should be the number one contender. Right, like, I get it. It's nice for the champions to have defenses randomly here and there, but at the same time, it's also about building the next competitor. That's just me, though. But it does seem like Daniel Garcia might be the next defense that's coming up. But again, like I said, I genuinely believe that each week there should be a pure rules match. That's just me. And there needs to be, and I just sound like a broken record. I'm not going to say anything else because you guys have heard me say it time and time again. But, and then we had the main event, Athena versus Kira Hogan for the Women's Championship. It's nice to see two beautiful black women main event in Ring of Honor. I don't know if this is the first time. Either way, we have two women main event, two black women main event in Ring of Honor for the women's title. Both women, it was a good match. It was a serviceable match. Another trinket under Athena's belt of defenses. I personally think she's the best champion in Ring of Honor at the moment. I don't think during this new era of Ring of Honor, there hasn't been anyone as dominant as Athena. Nobody is putting in the work like Athena. Nobody has been showcasing herself and dispatching her opponents like Athena. And Kira Hogan, she had a good showing out as well. I think there's potential in Kira Hogan. I feel like she just hasn't been given the right... Like, I don't know where it is about Kira Hogan. Kira Hogan is amazing. I just don't feel like enough stock has been put into her. But I think this might change. I feel like Kira Hogan could definitely be built into potentially being the one to beat Athena. My only thing is, again, like I say, Ring of Honor are not building people properly. They're throwing people in proven ground matches, and then there's no rules. Like, I don't know, man. There was some decent stuff on the show, but Ring of Honor is basically Dark Elevation. All the matches are dark, like, and then you get one or two different main event film matches, which is terrible. Every match should feel like a big deal to me. Every match should feel like it's moving something along. But yeah, that was Ring of Honor. MLW quickly. MLW. There was only two matches on MLW. They were in Mexico as they were filming some stuff for AAA and MLW Super Series. They had a few segments, which was fun. The two matches that they had was La Rebellion which is Bestia 666 and Mecha Wolf versus Taurus and Abismo Negro Jr. This match was a fucking crash spot. Spot, car crash, whatever you want to call it. It was dope, man. Honestly, I can't lie to you. I know La Rebellion, they are the current NWA Tag Team Champions. And they're also, I think they might have lost it. I think they're former, they are former TNT Extreme. That's up in North of England. Tag Team Champions. This match was dope. You see Taurus? Taurus, like, I like Impact. But Taurus needs a platform. Send Taurus to New Japan. Or Noah. Somewhere. I can't recall if he's been in AEW yet. But Taurus is, for me, he is one of the best luchadors. Like, he might be top 10. He might be top 10. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Imagine getting Jacob Fatu, the size of Jacob Fatu, the strength of Jacob Fatu, with the speed, strength, charisma, innovation like of Bandido and Phoenix. You put them into one, you give them a bull mask and some furry shit. That is Taurus. Taurus, can't lie to you. If I'm starting my own luchador company, he's my first champion. Easily. That was a good match. That was a very, very fun match. And then for the main event, it was Vikingo, Psycho Clown, and Rey Horus versus Sam Adonis, John Hennigan, and Gringo Loco in a 15-minute no DQ match. This match was very, 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 very... It was basically Team America versus Team Mexico. Sam Adonis, for those who don't know, he is Corey Graves' brother. He is better than Corey Graves. He is way better wrestler than Corey Graves. I'm so sorry. John Hennigan did well. Gringo Loco, we spoke about him earlier. He's absolutely amazing. Spoke about him a few weeks ago in his Ring of Honor debut. And again, you already know what you get with Vikingo. Rey Horus, I'm a bit shocked he's not back in Ring of Honor. He's incredible. Psycho Clown is over as fuck. But this was a good match. 15 minutes, spot fest. It was a dope match. I generally, and you hear Jem say it every week, I like the direction that MLW are going. I like these 1 hour shows, quickly in and out, a few segments here and there, but they naturally move and progress the shows along. It feels competitive. It feels like a sport. Whereas Ring of Honor doesn't feel like that anymore. Yeah, that was MLW. Impact was pretty interesting this week. The show started off with Steve Maclin and Bully Ray coming to speak about what happened at Under Siege. Under Siege was a good card. And then at the end of the show, after the main event, Bully Ray put Scott D'Amore through a flaming table. Bully Ray is incredible. My word. Bully Ray, I don't care what anyone says. Let me make myself comfortable. Bully Ray is bloody incredible. Bloody Ray. Bully Ray is incredible. The way he commands the mic. His comedic timing. That Bully Ray is dope. And then after that, we had a Motor City Machine Gun come and call them out. We had a bit of back and forth. It looks like at the next pay-per-view, we're going to be getting Alex Shelley versus Steve Maclin, which is going to be an absolute barn burner of a time. Is it time for Alex Shelley to win the world title? It's been long overdue, but Steve Maclin has only just won. If this was maybe like the tail end, maybe like 4 or 5 months into the Steve Maclin reign, I'll say, yeah, give it to Alex Shelley. What is the worst that can happen? Alex Shelley is... A lot of niggas is Alex Shelley's son, if we're keeping it a stack, if we're keeping it a bundle. A lot of niggas are Alex Shelley's sons. And Motor City Machine Gun, it's like, for me, they're just like an ageless tag team. They're just incredible. They're absolutely incredible. And Chris Sabin had his world title run, and he beat Bully Ray. He mentioned it. He beat Bully Ray for the world title. But that was a young Chris Sabin. But to see maybe an older, more mature, older statesman, Chris Sabin, or Alex Shelley have a world title, that would be good. And these men are just incredible in ring, man. We had Eddie Edwards versus Yuya Mora. I can't wait for Yuya to go back to New Japan. He's doing well on his excursion at the moment with Impact. He's doing some indie dates. He's going to go back an absolute unit. Eddie Edwards is just incredible. He's going to now, I'm assuming he's now going to get into a program with Frankie Kazarian. And one thing I'll say about a lot of these older statesmen, like they're hitting peak performance. Like, it's as they're getting older, they're getting even better. I don't remember Frankie Kazarian, like, it was maybe a few weeks ago, Frankie Kazarian had a match. I was just looking, I was thinking, this guy is dope. This guy is absolutely dope. We had Sami Callihan and Jake Crist defeating Decay, which is Crazy Steve and Black Taurus. Trinity versus Savannah Evans. Trinity's going to be facing Deonna Purrazzo for the women's title at the next pay-per-view, which should be fun. Do I see Trinity winning the title so quick? Okay, there's a difference between this match and then Alex Shelley versus Steve Maclin. Trinity is coming from the WWE. Trinity is Trinity. So would potentially Deonna having a transitional title phase just to put Trinity over a good look? I would say it is. I think maybe Trinity winning would probably be the right decision. She's been doing bits so far. Crowd seem to love her. And I can only support someone that takes matter into their own hands and crafts their own journey. And again, renaissance. Has some sort of renaissance within their own career. And there's a beauty in starting from scratch when you've come from the top. There's absolute beauty in starting from scratch when you've come from the top and rebuilding yourself and rebuilding your confidence, rebuilding yourself as a character, making us, we will never forget what Naomi was in WWE. Like, she had a stellar run. But the fact that she's gone to Impact and she's doing what she's doing, and I want to see her in more places. I want to see her doing the Stardoms. I want to see her doing the GCWs. I want to see her doing the West Coast and the Defy and I want to see Trinity everywhere and be able to have the matchups that she wants to have and quote unquote writing her own story and finishing her own story. And I feel like Impact Women's Championship is the first step in that. Is there any harm in her losing? No, there's no harm in her losing, But for this company to go into the right direction, especially with the eyes that are on Trinity, I'm not too sure in terms of numbers and if Trinity actually is the draw that I'd assume she could and couldn't be. I'm not too sure. I don't really care about that. I will have a word of knowledge and ask him. Maybe he wouldn't. I don't know. He's not interested in that, so he probably won't be. But, like I said, I think her building, her carving her own lane and writing her own story and taking matters into her own hand, I will always commend it. We had Jody Threat versus Danny Luna. Luna looks very good. This was a very, 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 very hard-hitting competitive match. I honestly enjoyed this match. I think this match was what I want to see in Ring of Honor. I want to see people come out and me not have an idea of, this is just gonna be a good match. Blow this match out of the water, just for the sake of blowing the match out of the water, rather than 2, 3, 5 squash matches on a show where it leads to nowhere. Jody Threat is settling well on TV. I'm excited to see what happens with Danny Luna moving forward and the rest of the subculture guys. And speaking of subculture guys, we have Motor City Machine Guns versus Subculture, Mark Andrews and Flash Robson Morgan. Mark Andrews was previously signed to TNA maybe 8-9 years ago, I can't remember. I know he won the gut check. This is Flash. They debuted at the pay-per-view, but this is first match in the actual Impact Zone. And this was a good match. This was a very, very good match. Subculture are bloody talented. Motor City Machine Guns are Motor City Machine Guns. It will be very interesting to kind of see where subculture go from this. Are they going to do more indie stuff? Could you potentially see them in a Ring of Honor? Could you this match was just great, and I feel like tag team wrestling in Impact is in a great place. So many great tag teams. There's so many good things. Yeah, that was Impact. Cool. Now that we've got those shows out of the way, we're gonna get back into what I was speaking about earlier. Renaissance. That's the name of the title of the podcast today. Renaissance. Hear me well. New Japan are back. New Japan are cooking with grease. New Japan are cooking with ghee, garlic, atarodo, stew. They're even using goat meat. New Japan are back. They've heard our cries. They've heard our complaints. And it seems like things had been brewing the last few months. We've been seeing, you know, bits and pieces coming together. But Dominion solidified it for me that, yeah, New Japan, we're heading back to the promised land. We are heading back to the promised land. Even before I get to Dominion, let's talk about the best of Super Juniors. Master Wato and Titan in the finals. One, I was just happy that we have someone new that has won the best of Super Juniors. That's all I cared about, because my nigga, I was tired. My God. When I say I was tired, I couldn't even tell you how tired I was. Takahashi has been oppressing us with Best of Super Junior wins. But let's get onto that first. Let's talk about IWGP heavyweight title number one contendership match, where Will Ospreay versus Lance Archer. This match was a great opener. This was just a fast sprint. Ospreay is Ospreay, man. Big up Ospreay. Ospreay is just bloody incredible. Archer. We need to have a conversation about Lance Archer. Because if you didn't know how good Lance Archer was, this match should be able to show you. And it just shocks me that Lance Archer is not a world champion somewhere. I'm so sorry. At this rate, give Lance Archer the Ring of Honor world title. Let him just run roughshod and go across the world and just pummel guys. Pause if necessary. This match was a great match. This match was just built around, you know, Ospreay surviving, Archer's physical advantage. Obviously, there'd been talks about, you know, Ospreay, because he had to come out of the New Japan Cup. He's still facing this arm injury, but It was good. And for me, I enjoy watching Ospreay fight from underneath. A lot of the times when Ospreay wrestle, he's wrestling someone that's either equal or he may have some sort of like superiority to him. But when we see Ospreay fight someone he's underneath, it's a great thing to watch. That was a dope match. He cut a sick promo. It's basically Ospreay versus Canada at Forbidden Door, which should be fun. We had L.I.J. versus Just Five Guys. This was a dope match. This whole card, top to bottom, was great, man. That was a good match. We had Catch 22 defeat Intergalactic Jet Setters Kevin Nakushida. Big shouts to commentary. Commentary were doing a lot to kind of like sell us on the fact that Kushida hasn't been the same since he's returned back to Japan. Granted, he's been on a run in America, He's been on an absolute run in America. But since being back in Japan, he's just not who he is. And, you know, they kept doing the comparisons of, like, Catch 22 and Intergalactic Jet Setters of, you know, TJP and Kushida being the older statesmen, Francisco Akira and Kevin Knight being the younger mentees of those two. They also played into the fact that Kushida and Francisco Akira were both trained by Tajiri. It was just a good match. And I don't think TJP, as much as people look at TJP as a problematic person when it comes to some of his views, but one thing we cannot deny is that TJP is an incredible wrestler. TJP is absolutely incredible. And I'm just excited to kind of see where the junior heavyweight division for the tag teams continue to go, and United Empire go. Now that Dan Maloney has turned their back on them and he's now a new member of Bullet Club, him and Clark Collins are going to be facing Catch 22 for the junior heavyweight tag team titles. I'll be very real. Initially when I found out that Dan Maloney was joining United Empire, I looked at him and I just thought, I can't lie to you. I get it. Will loves him. And, you know, the commentators also played into the fact that Will done everything he can to try and get Dan Maloney into Japan and into the United Empire, into Best of Super Juniors, which was, in terms of storytelling, which is a great addition. But I never ever looked at him and thought, United Empire. But Bullet Club, though, he suits it absolutely. So it will be very interesting to kind of see where United Empire go from here in regards to, are they now going to replace him? Because they definitely need a junior heavyweight. You know, there's tons of junior heavyweights around the world that they can get. And what would be the backlash coming from this? Are we now going to see United Empire versus Bullet Club? Who knows? Then we had the World Television titles, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jeff Cobb. Zack Sabre Jr. has now hit his 10th title defense and win. Jeff Cobb has never defeated Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. is brilliant. Like I've said, I don't know who's going to beat this guy for this title. He defended the title in Ring of Honor, defended it on Rampage, and then his third defense. Like, I honestly don't know who's going to beat him. And the fact that Zack Sabre Jr. has a counter for everything. It doesn't matter how big you are, how strong you are, how fast you are. Whatever you do, he's got a counter for it. And it was just ridiculous. And just the finish alone, the way he countered the Tour of the Islands into a pin and roll up, bloody fantastic. But it leaves me to question, who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him? Because with a TV title, I look at a TV title as more so an exhibition belt. This is a belt. Stories don't necessarily have to be built from this. And a lot of his title defenses, no story has really been built, besides the Jeff Cobb one. But a lot of people might flog me for this, but if there's someone I want to see win the title at some point, not necessarily beat him for the title, but someone I want to see have a great title reign with the TV title, it's Aaron Henare. I think Aaron Henare is splendid. He is absolutely fantastic. I'm not sure when, I'm not sure how, because, like I said, someone, I don't know, whoever beats Zack Sabre Jr., they have a title defense to live up to. And even if SZSJ loses, he needs to be like a 5-time TV champion. That needs to be his belt. So, then we had the tag team title match, the IWGP Tag Team Championships and the New Japan Strong Tag Team titles. Bishamon won, which I expected. It was a fun match. I'm tired of House of Torture, though. We need to free my nigga Show. Honestly, Show should be a 20-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion by now. But he's here running around with bums and bozos, like Evil and Dick Togo and Yujiro Takahashi. These are Bullet Club, man, that don't even feel like they're Bullet Club anymore. House of Torture seems to be its own entity. but they're just, I don't know, man, I'm tired of them. Like, I'm just sick and tired of them. Justice for show. That's literally it. That's the hashtag. I'm going to put it on screen. Justice for show, because really and truly, this is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But the newsworthy thing isn't what happened during the match. It happened after the match. We saw Bullet Club come up on the screen. And who came out? Alex Coughlin and Gable Kidd. And they smoked the ass out of Bishop. Big up at Gable Kidd, that's my bro. And Gable Kidd was shouting a lot of interesting things as he was, you know, effing blinding at the crowd, and as he walked up after they picked up the belts and they walked up the stage. He said, if they're not gonna give us anything, if they're not gonna give us anything, we're gonna fucking take it. And I'm here for it. This is why I'm saying Renaissance. It's a revival. Bullet Club is back. And I've seen a lot of murmurs online, people talking about, oh, it's not good for them. Bullet Club is tainted. Bullet Club is this, Bullet Club is that. But these are people that haven't got foresight and they're not able to kind of see what is being done. And as much as people like to clamor about, you know, David Finney, and they're not a fan of him and they're not really seeing where this Bullet Club is going, this should be an indication of what Bullet Club is and what Bullet Club should be. Bullet Club seems to be reverting back to where it was 10 years ago. It's the 10-year anniversary. Bullet Club have now swooped LA Dojo Gaijins and one of Willow Spray's boys. Bullet Club looks like an absolute unit. And the thing is, I feel like saying it. Like this ain't it. I feel like there's more to come. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't know how. I feel like there's more to come. If I'm being honest, I know about Gabe Wicked joining Bullet Club because he told me. He's got a new theme coming out, so you guys make sure you watch out for that. But I didn't know Alex Coughlin was going to be there, but this is the thing. This is going to be. And we should just sit down and enjoy the ride. That's literally it. This isn't me going based on what I've been told. Besides him joining Bullet Club, I don't know any of the plans. I don't know what's happening going forward. But just someone viewing as a fan and using common sense. I'm using common sense. Just to kind of show you that David Finley has told us this from the get-go. He is going to make Bullet Club in the image of himself. And what he's doing, he's bringing it back to what Bullet Club was. This was a Gaijin stable. And this is what Bullet Club needs. Bullet Club needs fresh faces. I'm tired of people just jumping in and just joining for the sake of, yeah, I want the Bullet Club. No, David Finley is creating a Bullet Club with a purpose. And the Bullet Club War Dogs, man, oh man, it's going to be a tough one for you guys. Absolute tough one. Absolute tough. And I can't wait to see Bullet Club War Dogs versus TMDK. I can't wait to see them versus United Empire. I can't wait to see them versus Chaos. I can't even wait to see them versus the Elite. Like, there's so much. There's so much that can happen. And with Forbidden Door around the corner, who knows? Because we've got Bullet Club Golds that are making their presence known on AWTV. You've obviously still got Bullet Club within Impact. There's Bullet Club in Australia with MCW and New Japan Tamahashi. Now it's just about scaling down and just the core members. Maybe David Finley just needs to do some sit around, like, yo guys, listen, you're out. House of Torture, you're out. Chase Owens, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, man, I'm excited to see where Bullet Club goes, man. Like, honestly, I feel like sometimes as wrestling fans, we can be a bit negative. And, you know, based on what Bullet Club have been Has it been great? Hell no. But at the same time, sometimes you need to have peaks and troughs to be able to appreciate, you know what? This was a downtime. I now see the vision of us recruiting LA Dojo. And there's a lot of story there as well. Why are people not seeing this? There's a lot of story there. There is so much that can be told from this. Who's to say that Shibata doesn't now come back and now lead his new, his other students that are not part of Bullet Club to now join him against his LA Dojo that have joined? There's so much to do, man. There's so much stories to be told. There's so much to be done. God, I can't wait, man. And then after we had G1 Climax lineup announced. And again, Renaissance, revival. This is what it's about. It seems like we're back because at the end of the day, we're being given. We wanted things to feel different. We wanted things to feel like it's taking a new direction. We wanted New Japan to feel like it's on a new tide. It's on a new level. It's bringing something to us that we weren't expecting. And if you guys remember, me and Jem spoke about one of these people potentially being in the G1. I didn't want him to beat Okada in the G1. I wanted him to have like a proper serious win. But yo, this is going to be interesting. So the lineup: Okada, Naito, Sanada, Will Ospreay, Tanahashi, David Finlay, Shota Umino, Takagi, Ishii, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, Hikuleo, Hiroki Goto, Yoshihashi, Toriano, Kenta, Zack Sabre Jr., Taichi, Eddie fucking Kingston is going to be making his G1 Climax debut. This should be fun. El Fantasmo, Ren Narita, Evil. How the fuck does Chase Owens keep escaping and making his way into this shit? I'm sure he's just going to be eating pins and whatnot, but at the same time, why? I can name 50 men that could have been in the G1 instead of Chase Owens. But, oh well. Jeff Cobb, Great O'Khan, Aaron Hanare, Gabriel Kidd, my guy. Alex Coughlin, Shane Haste, Mikey Nichols, Yota Tsuji. And for my Noah fans, Kaito Kiyomiya is making his debut in the G1 Climax. And boy, oh my, man, oh man. Then we had David Finlay versus El Fantasmo. This was a pretty good fight. It's kind of intriguing to kind of see where LP goes from here. This was a good match. Good match. Then we had Takahashi versus Master Wato. Takahashi won. Then we had Never Openweight 6-Man Tag Team Championship match. We had Chaos versus Blackpool Combat Club. And Shota Umino. This match was very, very good. I enjoyed this match a lot. Seeing Claudio amongst Tanahashi, Ishii, Okada. Shota looked great in this match. Moxley looked great in this match. Like, this was just epic, you know. I know, like, initially we did say that we don't know how we feel about Okada being in the trios. Like him just having that allure of just being a world champion would have been great, but I'm here for it, man. If it means, you know, giving a spotlight for other people to just be world champion and put them in a place where he can still showcase his skills and then mix up with different people, I'm here for it. Dope match, but the most important thing in this match wasn't the match, it was after. A match package got played, and it looks like we're getting Bryan Danielson versus Okada at Forbidden Door. That should be very, 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 very. The thing is, I'm gonna wait till the podcast on Wednesday to say my thoughts on the match. Like, but that match should be epic. To quote Sam Black's, epic. Yeah, that match should be great. And let's get into the main event. Sanada versus Yota Tsuji. This match. Sonada is him. Yota, bro, this, you know what's crazy? This felt like two stars facing each other. This felt like two absolute megastars facing each other. Yota Tsuji has this presence about him, especially since returning back to New Japan. Like, if I was watching New Japan for the first time, nobody shoot me. Anyway, none of you can. None of you can fight me. Yota has the presence of the leader of LIJ. And it almost comes across like he wants to overthrow Naito as the leader. There's some history between them. But, Yota Tsuji is him. The way this match started off as well, struggle for control. Yota hits a big spear. Sonada rolls out the ring. And then you see Yota do this crazy spaceman plancha outside of the ring. From when that move, and you've probably seen that go viral. It's been retweeted, it's been gifed, it's since Dominion, that I've seen that video probably every day. That match crazy. That move was crazy. The commentators did the commentators did an amazing job in telling us about the history of Yota, him being a young lion, then him coming to the UK to do his excursion, him going to CMLL, him, his past playing football, hence, you know, him being a quarterback, hence why his strikes are so good, him having martial arts background. So dope, and it's like Sonada having to shift his game plan into the only thing that he knows about Yota Tsuji is the spear. That's all he knows. Like, he's counted a lot of stuff, but a lot of Yota's moveset, it's like he's struggling to combat with it until it became time to counter the spear, which he was very familiar with because was speared out of his boots on Yota's return. This match was great. I'm very, like, I don't really care for Meltzer's ratings, but I'm very intrigued to kind of see what Meltzer rates this. If it's out, I haven't seen it, but I will check after. But again, let me go back to this. What I was saying before. Renaissance. New Japan is in good hands. A lot of people, including myself, were a bit, I don't know how I feel about Sonada being champion. But we've seen that him as champion works. His ability has never been in question. It's just a matter of, does he have this presence about him? Will he be able to reflect this within a big fight field? Can I look at Sonada and look at him and think, yeah, you are a champion? And quite frankly, he does. The title defenses he's had so far, I've been able to look at his opponents and also look at them and feel like they've had a big fight. They have that big fight feel in them. And that, you know what? If this person was to beat Sonada, I believe them. And there's not a lot of champions that are like that, where they're able to not only make themselves look good, but also make their opponents look like a credible threat. To make their opponents feel like, make their opponents look like, yeah, if this person wins, if this person beats the champ, it was a right call. And of course, I had no doubt that Sonada was going to retain his title. But at certain points during the match, I was thinking, damn, maybe they might do an Okada. Just wins that belt. Or they might just do a Jay White. And because we rarely see people push like this as soon as they come back from, as soon as they come back from excursions. So it'll be very, very, like, New Japan is in good hands with the G1 coming up, Forbidden Door coming up. Obviously, Noah has N1 coming up. So we might see some New Japan talent go over there. We've got All Together Again with All Japan, New Japan and Noah. Yeah, like I said, we are in good hands. Bullet Club are back properly. Like they've been about a new, like the Bullet Club that we know and the Bullet Club that we're so used to seeing, a Gaijin stable where they're there to wreak havoc and they're there to take shit. We're not being handed shit anymore, so we're going to take it. That's what Bullet Club has always stood for. And it seems like that seems to be the premise of where this new Bullet Club direction is going in. All I would say is kick out Chase Owens and kick out House of Torture, kick out Kenta. And please do more with the Chris Bays and the Ace Austins. I know Impact is their home, but you guys could also come to Impact and do some shit as well. You know what I mean? Like, Shota is killing it. Shota's going to be an absolute star. I was saying in the Discord the other day that, bro, in 3, 4, 5 years' time, we're going to be watching Yota and Shota headlining a Wrestle Kingdom. And don't get me started when Yuya comes back as well. Boy, oh boy. And obviously, we've got Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay. I'm assuming that Will Ospreay is probably going to bring that title back to New Japan. Like, New Japan is back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're cooking. We are finally cooking. We're cooking with ghee. Like I said, ghee, oil, ginger and garlic paste, atarodo, stew, rice. We're cooking. I'm excited to kind of see where New Japan go. And this is the thing. This is how I always want to end every Indie Takers. Excitement of knowing what is next. Because every time I talk about Ring of Honor, I'm never excited. Because it's just like, here we go, it's a chore. But I'm excited. Like, can you look at my eyes. I'm excited. Look at these bloodshot eyes. I'm fucking excited. Like, I'm a bit tired, so that's why the energy is a bit depleted. But yeah, I can't wait. Honestly, can't wait to see what happens. G1 Climax, can't wait to see what happens. All Together Again, I can't wait to see what happens. N1, I can't wait to see what happens. I need to catch up on All Japan's. I'm not sure if the Champions Carnival started or if it's finished. I've been a bit lackluster in regards to New Japan. All Japan, sorry. I can't wait, man. Honestly, I cannot wait. We have Hustle tomorrow for the BritRest fans. So if you guys want to come, well, tomorrow, but today when this drops. If you guys want to come, link for tickets will be in the bio. We will be back for Indie Takers. Gem will be on the next episode, God willing. I hope you guys enjoyed. My match this week, just go and watch New Japan Dominion. Go get New Japan World or go find somewhere to watch it. And just watch the whole card top to bottom if you can't. Like, if this hasn't encouraged you to go and watch that show, then I'm sorry. Maybe my salesman skills isn't that great. But like I said, New Japan is back. This is a renaissance. Word to Beyonce. This is a real renaissance. And we're just getting started. Peace.